Israel and Judah. Chapter 30. Elisha at Dothan. In this lesson is seen the powerlessness of men to do aught against those who are under the divine protection. It has been a source of encouragement in innumerable instances in the past, and will continue to be so until the last enemy of God's people is destroyed. It is not recorded that we may envy Elisha for the remarkable way in which his life was safeguarded, but that we may know for ourselves the nature and efficiency of the protection on which we may rely. The Syrians had resumed their policy of harassing Israel by repeated forays, and seemed desirous of capturing the king. More than once they laid an ambush for him, but in some way he became aware of the danger and managed to avoid their encampment. The king of Syria began to suspect treachery in his own ranks, as one plot failed after another, and reproached his servants with their unfaithfulness to him in warning Jehoram. One of them replied that the discovery of the ambuscades was due to no defection on their part, but to the presence of Elisha the prophet in the ranks of Israel. He was repeating to the king of Israel the words uttered in Ben-Hadad's chamber: God's vigilance. Who could hope to circumvent such a foe as this? No deep-laid schemes could be relied upon, for the utmost cunning of the Syrians could not surprise a man who knew their thoughts. Yet this is the advantage enjoyed by those who array themselves under the banner of the cross. Many fear the power of Satan because he has gained dominion so largely over their minds, but this does not render his position an impregnable one. It is true that he often lies in wait for us, and when we least look for it, some sudden temptation is sprung upon us which too often finds us unprepared for resistance. But whoever commits the keeping of his soul to a faithful Creator may rest in the confidence that God cannot be surprised, or found off his guard. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. Although our sinful thoughts may spring upon us unawares, they are not unknown to God. He knows all about them afar off. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. None need feel that the odds are against them in their quest of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For it is as true now as it was in Elisha's day that the advantages are all with the servants of God. No power against the Lord. The king of Syria might be expected to recognize that he could not hope to capture an enemy who knew his most secret plans, but having learned that Elisha was at Dothan, he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. It was an imposing expedition for the capture of one man, but its very size and strength only emphasized its inability to do anything at all against Elisha. It is not a matter for discouragement when difficulties come thick and fast around us, but rather for rejoicing, because then the victory of faith will be so much the greater and more manifest. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Elisha's servant saw the host compassing the city, when he went forth in the early morning, and his heart was filled with dismay. Returning to his master, he cried, "Alas, my master! How shall we do?" Elisha was not alarmed. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Ministering spirits. In the course of earthly history it has often seemed that the truth was in a minority. Witnessing alone for God, men have faced angry multitudes, who thirsted for their blood, and to human eyes it seemed a contest of one against many, with all the power and influence on the side of the crowd. But it has not been so in reality. Angels, that excel in strength, never forsake the side of those who trust in God. Amid snares and perils, their ministry preserves and guides those who shall be heirs of salvation. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him, and delivers them. At Elisha's request the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. They were not sent there to be shown to the young man, but were there before, as Elisha's bodyguard. The only difference was that the servant's eyes were opened, so that now he saw how matters stood. Invisible beings. We may learn from this incident why it is that men do not see angels. Abraham saw and talked with them, so did Jacob, and so did many others. They have not become extinct, or diminished in number or power, nor are they less present about us. The reason we do not see them is that our eyes are closed. The difficulty is in ourselves. If we would accept their service and submit ourselves to their influence, we would quickly learn how irresistible was their power and how comforting their fellowship. Their sympathies are keenly enlisted in our behalf, and their greatest desire is to use their strength in our defense against the powers of evil. But while men array themselves determinately against these ministers of blessing, it is not to be wondered at that they are so seldom seen. To Elisha, the presence of the living God was a reality, and continually beholding God, his eyes were opened. When we learn to see God in all places where he is revealed, when he lifts up the light of his countenance upon us, and is always before our face that we should not be moved, when we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, our own eyes will be anointed with eye salve, and we shall see much that is now hidden from our vision. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, leading the blind. Elisha's next request was that the Lord would smite the Syrians with blindness. This was done, and they were led helpless into Samaria, which suggests another reason why blindness in part has come upon men, so that they cannot discern spiritual things. Had sinful man been still allowed the privilege of beholding the angels and spiritual beings, he might have proved as intractable as Satan and his fallen hosts. One who is blind will sometimes submit to be led, just as Ben-Hadad's army followed meekly the leading of Elisha. The Lord says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. The mercy of the Lord is over all his works and endures forever, and it will yet be seen that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. It is only that he may make his mercy known to men that their eyes are now blinded, and when they submit to God and acknowledge him in all their ways, he will speedily direct their paths into the visible, unbroken, everlasting communion of the whole family in heaven and earth. E.J. Wagoner.